Luke chapter 10, verse 38. If you're there, say amen. I'm going to be reading from the NIV version. Reads as follows. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman, everybody say a woman. Come on, everybody say a woman. Where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Verse 41, Jesus speaks, Martha, Martha. The Lord answers, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen, everybody say chosen, what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words this morning. God, as we set sail to get our hearts ready in this season of celebration of your birth and your life and your advent, your coming, your arrival that has forever changed our lives, we ask that the Holy Spirit, you would blow on these words over the few minutes we're together here this morning and make sure our hearts, our spirits, our home, that we're ready for the celebration of our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to use what, again, I realize that a lot of times I like to use what people would call Advent scriptures, looking at the angels, the wise men, the mangers, the shepherds, the angelic visitations to minister to us in this season. A few days out, this would be our service that sets our hearts for Christmas. And I know this isn't Advent, what we would call Advent scriptures, but I believe in this text, it speaks to where we are. I believe that it speaks to where we are. And this morning I was, or rather, as I was talking this week and even this morning, just asking the Lord, how do you want me to go about this? Because I believe this is time to make sure that our hearts are prepared for the season that we're in. And I want to use this morning what necessarily aren't Advent scriptures, but they are scriptures that speak to us this morning, I believe. And I want to use the title, Christmas Reminders. Everybody say, this is just a reminder. That's what it's about this morning. The Lord said, give them some reminders about Christmas. Because, you know, Christmas is, and let's just be honest, I like Christmas. You really... And before I say that, let me make sure I don't minimize the feelings of anybody, because I do understand, and we'll get there throughout the message, that there are people who go through different things. They have different experiences in the season of people that they fail, that they feel that they have, they're missing them and all those different things. But that aside for a moment, let me tell you right now, Christmas is the best season ever. I don't care what, you got to be a Scrooge if you just don't like Christmas. So right now, I'm going to tell you right now, check yourself. If you don't like Christmas, check yourself. It is nothing to not like about Christmas. I mean, who don't like to eat food? I mean, just get little gifts of cookies every now and then and just go to parties and celebrate with people and family who doesn't like Christmas trees and lights and twinkles and presents? And if you really don't like that stuff, something's wrong with you. You are, I think his name is Scrooge. There's just something. I like Christmas trees. You can say what you want. I don't care about pagans and all. You say what you want to say. You can say what you want to say. But I like Christmas trees. I like the lights. I like the bows. I mean, how many parties have you gone to? Come on, somebody. There's your job parties. There's your ministry parties. There's your get-togethers. It's just so much to enjoy about Christmas. I mean, the weather's nice. Decorations are nice. Football season is nice. Cleaning chitlin season. Yeah, that's what I said, too. That just came out of nowhere because that's nasty. I told you, that's just nasty. But that's what people do. as nasty as that is, that's still kind of nice, as long as it's not in my house. It just reminds me of New Year's and Christmas. I mean, when you really think, even though I hate shopping, don't like shopping, the buzz of shopping is even nice. It's just really a great season. And I know there's some people who argue, you know, pagan holiday, and you know what, we celebrate, it's not even his real birthday. Listen, let me tell you something, Scrooge. That's just people trying to just be down, talking about it ain't his birthday. It was, you know, back in the summer. Let me tell you, especially for black folk. Let me speak to us for just a minute. Come here. Because if I hear another black person tell me his birthday, I don't know why we celebrating it because of that. Let me give you a little history. Because do you realize that as slaves, when slaves were born, they didn't even have birth certificates. They didn't even know what day their birthday really was on when it came back around. You know what they did? They just found a certain time of year to celebrate their birthday, not even knowing if it was the right day or not. And they would celebrate it not because of the day. They would just celebrate it because they realized it was the goodness of God that I'm living. So I don't care what day we celebrate his birthday, as long as I celebrate the goodness of God that my Savior, Emmanuel, was born. I don't care if he was born in July. I don't care if he was born in August. As long as I celebrate that God gave him breath and life to come down here and transform my life and take away my sins, shed his blood for me. I don't care what day he was born. I'm going to celebrate the goodness of my God in the land of the living. And we get so many, you know, these folk, you know, these Malcolm X folk. You understand what I'm talking about? And they want to, you know what I'm saying? And then I'm like, man, do you realize there was times we just celebrated not even knowing their birthdays? And it's amazing that we want to use that as an argument, not just say they're Scrooge. Come on, somebody. And it's probably because they don't have no friends and nobody to celebrate with. Come on. But the thing I'll say in this season, it is an amazing season, church. And I believe that's why many of us, even if you're not buying, it's not really about gifts, but it's just about the season of what it is. And the more I was thinking about that, the Lord began to share with me that as amazing as it is, we have to be careful that we don't fall into the Christmas trap. And that's what this reminder is that, you know, that as wonderful as it is, we seem to fall into this trap every year when it comes to Christmas. We get caught up in the buzz. We get caught up in cleaning the chitlins. Come on, somebody. We get caught up in the parties and the celebration and the festivities and the buying of gifts that every now and then we need a reminder so we don't fall into the trap. Because if you think about a trap, if you remember, a trap is something that you don't see. And next thing you know, you're in it. I've heard boxers say this before. The worst punch to take is the punch you didn't see coming. Hit me with one I can see that I can prepare for, but the worst punch to take is the one you don't see coming. That's just like life. It's the worst blow is to get laid off when I didn't see layoff coming. I can understand if I heard there were some rumblings for 3 months and I can prepare myself, but then just one day when everything is good, just get laid off. That's the worst blow when you don't see it coming. The worst blow is when all of a sudden after 40 years of marriage, you just get hit with some divorce papers. That's the when you don't even see something coming. It's almost like, you know, and every year it seems like we fall into this trap, almost like a mouse trap, because I always wonder about mice. Like, why do you keep going into the trap? When you saw your cousin get caught up in it, why are you going to go after the same cheese when you saw what happened to him? And they get caught in the trap even though they see what happens over and over and over again. And I believe that we're like that as believers when it comes to Christmas. Every year we see and we hear preaching that it's about Jesus, but we're just like the other. We take the cheese. We take the trap of the enemy. Every year after seeing other people get caught up in it, we spend too much. We lose our focus. We're not even talking about Jesus no more. And year after year, we get caught in the trap. And the Lord said, that's what he sent my assignment today. I'm not sure how much preaching we're going to do, but my assignment is to give you a Christmas reminder today, to remind you of what Christmas really is so you don't get caught in the trap. Touch your neighbor, say, don't get caught in the trap. And when we see this text that we look at, I believe that we see that Martha, it gets caught in the trap. When you look at it, this text, which really has nothing to do with the birth of our Savior, but it has everything to do with the season we're in. And the story that we look at here in the scripture, our text picks up it with Jesus in Bethany, is when the Bible said he's coming to to this home of Martha, people he know in Bethany, Martha, Mary, who's a brother of Lazarus. And the Bible says that Jesus was coming to her house, and on his arrival to her house, she begins to have preparation. She begins to prepare for Jesus. She begins to prepare for him in her home, and we look at it, you see she begins to cook, clean, and do all these things, and there's a real good reason behind that. Because to understand in that day and age, in the biblical day and age, that whenever you had a guest in your house, it was important that you have your house prepared the right way for your guest. It ain't like, you know, grandmama and them coming over. They took it to the nth degree, because if you did not prepare for a guest in your house right, it would be offensive to your guests when they got there. Because, you know, a lot of times we preach Martha was so busy, because when you look at the text, the Bible lets us know she was cleaning, she was washing dishes, she was preparing because Jesus was coming to her house, and she did not want to be offensive to the Savior. So she was stressed out preparing for the preparation of Jesus. And when you look at it, we begin to look in the text. Now, how many know that whenever you're having guests come over, you want to clean your house? Can I help you out? Can I help you real good? Please do not invite me to your house if it ain't clean. I mean, I'll come pray with you. You don't have to clean. But just don't say, come eat and your stuff ain't right. See, I don't know about this modern day millennial cleaning. I like back in the day cleaning. Anybody know what Ajax is? Y'all still call it Ajax? I don't know. I just remember getting the Comet out. You understand what I'm saying? And the SOS pad to scrub the dishes and stuff. I don't know what these kids do nowadays. But when you mop floors, when I was growing up, God, where am I at right now? When I was growing up and you mop floors, you used bleach. And your house smelled like bleach, but when you know when somebody's house clean, you walk in and smell like bleach. Come on, somebody. And you would clean the house and even, you know, dishwashers back in the day. I was the dishwasher. You understand what I'm saying? What's a dishwasher? I was the one cleaning them dishes. Come on, somebody. And, you know, clean them, dry them, and put them away all in the same moment. Nowadays, they put them in dishwasher for like a week. Come on, somebody. We live out the dishwasher. Give me my plate. Not in my house. You wash it, dry it, and put it away. That's how it was. And even when I did get a dishwasher, when you ran out of the little stuff, I used to put the I don't know what it's called no more. The pound, you know what I'm talking about, the dish soap. I used to wash clothes that way when I couldn't afford washing powder. Come on, two for one. Do the dishes and wash your clothes. Had to do what a brother had to do. Come on, somebody. Anybody know, wave at me if I'm near your neighborhood somewhere. Come on, you had to live in the hood if it's, you know what I'm talking, yeah. So here it is. We see this with Martha. So now we understand why she is stressing in the text, because she's preparing to celebrate Jesus in her house. And she understands if my failure to prepare will actually be offensive to my guests. So the Bible lets us know that she is cleaning, she is washing dishes, she is doing all that she knows to do. Jesus comes in the house and she's still preparing, she's still cleaning, she's still washing floors and mopping floors, doing dishes. And she brings us to our first Christmas reminder. And here it is right here. Our first Christmas reminder is to let us know is that we can't lose focus of Jesus while we're preparing to celebrate Jesus. I want to make sure you get it, is that you don't lose focus of Jesus while preparing to celebrate Jesus. And the Lord began to share this. He said, just give us these simple reminders, because many of us are like Martha right now. Many of us are in that preparation season. Many of us have fallen into that trap where it's, you know, we see it coming every year, and now we have celebration, and we're doing all this preparation to celebrate Jesus, and in the midst of preparing to celebrate him, we lose focus of him. He's sitting in her house, and she is in there going pots and pans. She's in there. She's trying to do all she can to prepare for him, and watch what the Bible says in verse 40. Jesus is in the house. If you can put up verse 40 for us. And the Bible lets us know she is distracted. Watch the text. But Martha was distracted. Watch what it says. By all the preparations that had to be made. Church, I want to talk to us real quick, because many of us are in that season of life. You're distracted by all the preparations. But the question is, what is she distracted? She's distracted from Christ in her living room. She's distracted from spending time at the feet of Jesus where her sister Mary's at. She's distracted by all the preparations that she's really not engaged with Christ while preparing for Christ. And I believe that when we fall into that Christmas trap, we need that reminder to tell ourselves that we cannot be distracted with preparation and realize that what we're really called to do is to celebrate with him, not just prepare for him. Let me give you that Greek word. I was looking at it. The Greek word when it says distracted, it simply means when you're distracted, it's paropaseo. It literally means to be occupied. Meaning she was occupied with everything for him, but she didn't spend time with him. And I want to know how many of us in this season right now are really preparing for Christ, but we're not really spending time with Christ. We're busy going and traveling, but we can't even come to church, and it's really about going to see and be with Christ. We've made plans to do everything else and see family and be with people, but in this season, what we're supposed to be doing is being prepared with Christ, not just for him, but with him, and making sure that we're not preoccupied trying to celebrate everything. Because it's amazing that how we get caught up in tradition and we lose the very Savior that we're supposed to be celebrating. Let me show you this. It's not just with Martha, but watch the text in Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Here's another instance of the Passover. Let me share this with you. It says in Luke 41, it says, every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem, watch this, for the festival of Passover, another celebration really about the lamb. And verse 42 says this right here in verse 42, and when he was 12 years old, meaning Jesus, they went up to the festival according to the custom, verse 43. And when they go, verse 43, if you can put it up there for us. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind. Watch this, and they were unaware of it. They were at a festival, and they lose Jesus. Mary lost her child for 3 days. If you read the Bible says they got on their donkeys and horses, and everybody was caravanning. She got halfway. 3 days later, hey, where's Jesus at? I thought he was on your donkey. How do you lose Jesus in the midst of a festival and celebration? Church, that is a dangerous place to be, is to call yourself celebrating Christmas, but you have no relationship or dealings with Christ right now. Mary, I mean, that's a CPS case if I ever seen one right there. That's lose your child. Come on, 3 days, you're like, where is my child at? For 3 days, you didn't have any understanding where your child named Jesus was at? Mary, do you remember that angel that visited you, that told you that you were going to have? I mean, if there's one thing Mary needed to hang on to all of her life, was Jesus. I mean, you got an angelic visit from heaven to tell you about this child. And in the midst of the festivities, we see another person who loses Jesus. So the question right now is, how many of us have lost Jesus this year? How many of us over the last few weeks have lost the Christ and really what it's all about? How many of us ain't even showed up to church or lifted a worship? Because this is the season where it's not just about celebrations, but growing closer to the Savior, because it's not about preparing, but it's about communing with him. And this is the reminder that every family needs, getting caught up in shopping and spending money you don't have. Come on, somebody. You're doing stuff and you're caught up in the trap every year after year after year. And this is the season that we should be closer to God. Here it is. But I need you to catch this. Go back to the text, because I want you to understand something she missed here. Because it's not just about not being distracted. But go to verse 40. Go to verse 39. Here's what I want. Because verse 40 said, but. But before, if you could throw that up there, I want you to see it, because in verse 40 it said, but. And what she was missing was a miracle. Because in verse 39, verse 38 and 39, we see actually a miracle. Watch what the Bible says. It says, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet. Everybody say, sat at the Lord's feet. Listening to what he said. Then that's where verse 40 says, but Martha was distracted. So the but means she was missing out on this. Let's put it together. Watch this. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Now throw verse 40 up there. And verse 40 says, but. So I want you to connect the two. Go back to verse 39. Mary was sitting at the feet of the Lord, watch this, listening to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted. That but means she was missing out. She should have been there, but she was distracted. Mary was sitting at the feet. The Bible don't just put stuff there just to put stuff there. It says her sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was busy with preparations. Here's what I need you to catch, because what many people don't know is verse 39 is a miracle. Let me teach you something. That phrase, sat at the Lord's feet, is really a Jewish known phrase that is only available to males. Let me come get you. That's why the Bible says, but, because verse 39 is a miracle. What that simply means, the custom of Jewish people, you never see another lady in the Bible where it says sat at the Lord's feet. Because that was preserved for male disciples that would sit at the feet of a teacher. Means that you were a student, means you were a disciple of. And what happened here, and this is what, it's not that she was just busy, but what happened was her busyness caused her to miss a miracle. And what we got to understand, that phrase, sat at the Lord's feet, it was meaning that God literally came in and he broke tradition. He came in that season, watch this, and he said, listen, whatever was not normal, I'm now going to make it normal. Whatever was not able to be before, I'm now changing and making it to be. But what happened was Martha missed it because she was so distracted. She missed something that God said, in this season, this is what I want to do. But because she was so distracted, she missed God breaking something that should have been broken. Okay, let me come get you and translate it how the Holy Spirit gave it to me. He says, the way we're distracted in this season, it is a trap of the enemy. Because what Christmas really is about, it's about miracles. This whole season, God began to show me and stir in me that this whole season is the stir of faith. It is to remind you when you hear preach about Elizabeth last week, the woman who was barren and who could not have a child. But when Christmas came, God opened up her womb and gave her a child. This is a miracle season. When the Bible says that Mary, a virgin, the Holy Spirit came on her and she conceived, it was a miracle for her to have that. When we see this season, we see that when Christ was entering in and they were celebrating him, that they missed out. Martha missed out on a miracle because she was so distracted. And church, here's what I came to remind you so you don't fall into the trap. And the reason the enemy wants you to get caught up in the glitz and glamour of Christmas is because really this is a season to build your faith of miracles. This is a season where God is trying to break you out of stuff and break you into stuff. I really believe we should see at the end of the year more miracles than we ever see at the beginning of the year, because it's celebrating the birth of Jesus. And every time you come into the house of the Lord in this season and they're preaching the virgin birth and they're preaching Emmanuel and they're preaching a God, a Savior born in a barn, that should speak to you that no matter who I am, I can have a great, amazing God in my life. But what happens is you get so distracted and mundane, you miss out on miracle season. And God said, you got to remind my people, I am setting them up. I bring Christmas because I bring miracles. And this is a time God is trying to bring you into something you have never experienced before. Stay with me, church. It's because we're so distracted, we forget God is trying to do miracles right now. I was talking, watch this right here. Dale Cooper, where you at, man? Where's Dale at? Stand up for me. Stand up. 2 weeks ago, let me show you something. And as I found out, I said, God, this is miracle season. 2 weeks ago, he was told he had cancer. They went in and did a biopsy and said it's cancerous, right here in his throat. Told him it was cancerous. 7 days later, he went to the oncologist. And oncologist says, something changed from that day to this day. Okay, y'all sit there and be bougie if you want to. He was told he had cancer when they did the biopsy. I mean, told verbally, yeah, it's cancer. You're going to have to do it. It's cancer. It's cancer. He goes to the oncologist. The oncologist said, between that day and this day, something has changed right here. And what I came to tell you, let me tell you what changed. He is in Christmas season. He's in miracle season. He's in lift up the virgin birth season. He's in Emmanuel, God with the season. He's in God answers prayer season. He's in God shows up season. He's in that time where we cannot be distracted, but you should be expecting a miracle right now. Not just shopping, not just partying. You should be expecting God to do something in the Christmas season. But Martha was Mary. Martha was distracted. But Martha was distracted. And I want to know how many people need a miracle right now. But you've been distracted. But you've been shopping. But you've been traveling. But you've been doing everything when you should have been getting your miracle like Mary. There's too many Marthas when God's trying to give you a Mary miracle. This is not just about trees and lights and food and chillings. This is about miracles. This is why we preach a virgin birth, not just to tell you over and over, but to remind you the impossible is possible to anybody in this season. I don't know what church you've been at, but you're in a church that believes in miracles. You're in a church that'll look over a body and said, I believe it can live. That can look at every marriage and say, it can be restored. Look at every situation and say, God can do it. But how many are Marthas distracted by preparations when you should have been in here worshiping because it's a season of miracles? Financial miracles, emotional miracles, mental miracles. This is a season of miracles. But Martha. The Bible says, but Martha. Meaning, Martha, you're missing out on the miracle because you're so busy preparing to celebrate him. You lose focus of him. When this is not just about preparation, this is about a season of miracles. And if God can show up in his life, one day he gets the earth-shattering news, it's cancer. We just went in and did a biopsy. It's cancer. But what they didn't know, it's miracle season. And whatever was, God can break it. Whatever needs to be, God can take you into it. We forget that's what Christmas is about. It's miracle season. It's miracle season. Look at the dynamic of Joseph and Mary. I'm not making light. I know I made light of this in the past, but watch the miracle of family right here. Watch, God said it's a miracle. It's family. It's a miracle with family. Now, I'm jumping ahead on one of the points, but understand, Joseph should have never married her. Who would have married a lady who went on a vacation and comes back pregnant? But the Holy Spirit restored family. This is a season of restoration and miracles where God can restore and bring the unnormal normal, and the normal needs to be unnormal. God can do it all. And if you got broken family relationships, I believe God can restore it in this season. Listen to me, I feel something just clicked in me. I need you. If you need a miracle, stand to your feet. Play something for me right now. I feel the Holy Spirit said right now, if you need a miracle, stand to your feet. Just stand to your feet. If you need a miracle in this season, I'm talking about a for real miracle. Listen to me. Come on, you guys need to find me real quick in the spirit. This just shifted right here prophetically right now. I need you to lift your hands. This is miracle season. We didn't come to church just to get through the moment. You came. This is not just about candles and trees, lights and we serve a God. We serve a God who came to remind you that he's a God of miracles. That he is a God of miracles. He can do the impossible right now. Come on, lift your hands and begin to believe with me. I believe that God still works in signs and wonders. God is God of the miraculous. That's what Chris, we lose this in the distractions. We fall in the trap every year. We hear sermons preached, but they're to remind us. Just like communion reminds us of what Christ has done, Christmas reminds us what Christ has done for you. It's miracle season. Come on, lift your hands. Come on, lift your hands. Every hand lifted. I'm going to pray right now. Come on, lift your hand. Get your miracle ready. Come on. Get your heart ready for your miracle. I don't know if you need financial miracle. I don't know if you need an emotional miracle. I don't know if you need your family restored, but I feel the whole, this was nowhere in my notes. The Holy Spirit said now. I felt it inside. Come on, I believe God's going to do a miracle. I believe the reason why he healed him was to encourage somebody today.
I believe that the reason God healed him was to encourage you today. That if he could do the impossible with him in 7 days, he can do the impossible with you in the next few days of your life. I feel a prophetic release. Come on, lift your hands. I'm telling you, God is doing it right now. Just a little bit. Bring it down just a little bit. Bring it down just a little bit. Listen to me, church. Father, I decree over every hand lifted. I release, oh God, through the prophetic realm of heaven. Father, you are a God of miracles. You are a God of breakthrough. You are a God who takes what seems to be impossible and you make it possible. So, Father, we're asking for your super to be on our natural, that we may have a supernatural moment. God, I pray relationships are to be restored right now. Envy and bitterness and hate in families, I decree it broken. Ministry, if you have bitterness, I declare it broken. God, I pray restoration. I pray healing of every physical healing right now. I'm not laying hands, it's coming to you now. I pray for those who need a financial miracle. Those who are looking for a career and a job, and you may have been laid off or things aren't going your way, I believe it's coming now in the name of Jesus. I'm not talking about 2020. I'm talking about before we get out of December 31st, your miracle is on its way. Suzanne, receive your miracle in your knees right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive it. I command that pain to loose from her body right now. I command that pain to go from her even now in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of Heaven that can heal cancer. You can take every joint. You can take every ligament. You can take where there's no fluid, where there's bone on bone. I speak healing into her in the name of Jesus. Come on, lift your hands. I believe the Holy Spirit is ministering. This was nowhere in my notes, church. This is a divine moment. This is a divine moment. Oh, I feel restoration. Hearts are being healed from every bitterness of relationship. Woo. Come on, receive it. God, I pray over every home right now. This is the time for miracles. Emmanuel, God with us. Father, just as Mary sat at your feet where no female was supposed to be at a male, you broke tradition. You took what was known to be impossible to do and you made it possible. Martha missed it because she was so distracted. She was preparing for you. She lost focus of you. Fathers, we're here to be reminded of what you can do. I pray where there's faith in this room, I command miracles to flow to them right now in the name of Jesus Christ. If you receive that this morning, I want you right now to give the Lord a good hand clap right now. Come on, I believe it. Just like that. Come on, you got to believe it. Financial miracles, family miracles, healing, physical miracles, emotional miracles, property miracle, court document miracles, breakthrough miracles. I believe we're in a season of miracles. Don't you be distracted. Don't you fall in the trap. This is a reminder that God is a God of restoration. Somebody shout hallelujah. High five your neighbor. Say, I'm reminded. In this season of miracles. Sit down. I got to get you out of here in good time. See, I like when people shout, take your time. Because I like to hold people accountable when I take my time. Be like, they told me to do it. Hear me, church. Ooh, I feel a glorious anointing right now. I'm telling you, listen to me. When you walk with the Lord, you can just sense a move. I love it when the Holy Spirit comes in. He says, this is what's about to happen. And I'm telling you, there's miracles that are just breaking. You don't even know it right now. You're a sitting miracle. You're not even standing. You're a sitting miracle right now. You don't even know God is restoring families and relationships, right? You sitting in here, God is working on people right now. You sitting up in here, God is on your job right now. God, you sitting up in here, you about to get the best doctor report. You don't even know what's. You sitting up in here. The Holy Spirit says, now I'm about to go. They have been reminded. Faith has arrived, and I'm about to do something. While you're sitting in here, the Holy Spirit is working it out there. Watch this. I got to push. I got to give you a couple of reminders. Not only got to be reminded not to lose focus while you're preparing for Jesus, don't lose focus of Jesus. The second reminder, so you don't fall into the trap, is the trap of losing your peace. You have to make sure you don't fall into the trap of losing your peace. Watch what happens. This is heavy right here. Let me see if I can unpack it. Give me my second point up there, please. Falling into the trap of losing your peace is when you watch the text, we look at Martha and she had no peace at all. If you could put my second point up there, please. And when you look at it, she had absolutely no peace whatsoever. Matter of fact, here's what happens when you look at it. When you look at it in the text, you see she is completely stressed out in preparation. She is literally stressed out to the point that she goes to Jesus, and when she goes to him, she says to him in verse 40, she says, "Lord, tell my sister to help me." Stay with me, because you got to understand what's happening. Martha's going to be like some of you guys hosting family, and you're going to be in there cooking and cleaning. You know what I'm talking about. You're preparing, and everybody's in the house. You're hustling. You're bustling. You're trying to get the food out. You're trying to make sure the pots are put away. You're trying to do everything, and watch what happens. She gets so upset, she goes to Jesus. Watch this. Give me verse 40 if you can, but over in verse 40, we notice the text. The Bible says she goes to Jesus, and she says, "Jesus, tell my sister to help me." And what I love about the Bible is it put exclamation points after she says it. It put an exclamation point because she's upset. Come on, if she like people I know, I'm sure that pots are banging in there, like you sitting up in there. Come on, you at least can. Come on, you're not even paying rent up in here. This is my house. The Bible says it's Martha's house. You can at least help my brother out up in here with something. And she's stressing out, and she goes to Jesus, and when she goes to him, the Bible lets us know she has absolutely no stress. I mean, absolute no peace whatsoever. She is stressed out. And she goes, go to the text for me, verse 40, if you can put it up there. And she tells him, watch the text. She goes to Jesus. She needs help. She goes to Jesus and said, "Jesus, tell her." And I know she can hear her. That's the funny part. She's got an exclamation. It ain't like, you know, Mary's in another room. She's right there at his feet. And she goes to Jesus and said, "Jesus, tell her to help me." Okay. Well, watch what it says. Look at the end of that. Look at that exclamation point. "Tell her to help me." That's just a mad right there. Family or not, she upset. She comes and she's so upset, she has lost all. This is not how Christmas should be. If you're celebrating Christ, there should be no exclamation in anything right now except lifting up the name of Jesus. But she is frustrated. She's stressed out. Watch what this. She is cleaning all by herself. Somebody say all by herself. And she's falling into the trap while she's preparing for Christ. She loses her peace. Which is amazing, is because, you know, when she loses her peace, she feels totally isolated. She feels totally alone right now. She's sitting in a place where she's literally sitting there like, "I'm doing this all by myself." And when you're alone in the Christmas season, it can be frustrating. It can put something in you where you lose your peace because you wish you had somebody with you to help you. And there's a lot of people who won't even celebrate or come to church in this season because they're reminded that I'm by myself. While people are preaching what I preached earlier about festivities and parties and gathering and families, they have the frustration and they have lost their inner peace because they don't have someone with them that they wish they had with them. And the Bible says she comes to Jesus and she does not have her peace. And church, here's what I really like. This is a lot to unfold, but I need you to catch this. Is one of the reasons, and there's a lot of reasons here, but here's what I need you to catch. One of the reasons she loses her peace, and one of the things that's amazing about it, is that when she loses her peace, one of the main reasons she loses her peace is because she looks at Mary, and she sees what Mary's doing, and she sees what she's doing. Say with me. Let me just do a drive-by. This is not my main point, but I'm just going to be a sub-point for someone, because we fall into this same trap at Christmas time. When we're preparing to celebrate with Christ, Martha's in there banging dishes around, pouring water and wine and all the stuff she's doing. And she looks out and sees Mary sitting down. And you know she's feeling some type of way. Anybody ever been there where you're doing everything and you got that one family member? Well, you're like, "All y'all jokers is going to sit there. That's okay.
Just go sit there while I'm doing everything up in the house. I know every mom in here talking about, he preaching right here, he preaching right here. And all the preparation, and she's getting frustrated, but watch her frustration. It's not just because she's lonely, that's one thing, but she begins to look at Mary and sees what she's doing, and then looks at herself and sees what she's doing. And the peace she loses, watch this, because she's comparing herself with Mary. And God began to show me that there are many of us who do the same thing, that we begin to compare ourselves with other people. And I just want to bring you a quick reminder, you got to be careful not to allow yourself in this season to compare yourself with somebody else. Because a lot of single parents and a lot of single moms and families and people who wish they can bless their children, they start looking at what other people are doing and looking how other people are spending Christmas and celebrating the Savior, and then they lose their peace because they're looking at somebody else and comparing what they have or what they're doing with what they have. And see, I didn't come to really preach, but give you a reminder that you got to be careful not to compare yourself. Because one of the things, let me just help somebody, it's not even a point in my notes, but I need you to catch this, is that you've got to understand that you have to be careful when you compare your life with somebody else. Well, let me tell you why. Here's why, because what I noticed, especially with this social media craze, I know I'm not a hater, I like social media, I know it sounds like I'm a social media hater, I know it, I get it, but you got to be careful with Facebook. Because that's really what it is. It's Facebook. I've come to the conclusion. And I know, pray for, I'm 2020, I'm going to be all over it. They already told me, I got to do it. I got to do it for ministry. I got it. I'm going to be there. But I realize people are phony. And on Christmas Day, I'm not hating on you. Do what you do. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the other people at the other church and around the world. But when I see people post stuff, and the Lord ministered to me one day, and she said, do you know how many people are hurting looking at this? Stay with me. It's not telling you not to post. What I'm reminding you is don't compare yourself with somebody else when they're celebrating themselves. Because the reality is, what I've discovered is you don't know what happened before that picture was taken, and you don't know what happened after that picture was taken. Because what I discovered is people would do all kind of stuff. You don't know how much debt they done built up. Come on, somebody. You don't know what car payment they're missing. You don't know what they just did. They took their whole tithe and took all God's money, blessed their family, and put it on Facebook. God help me. And you sitting there living right, doing it right, and you begin to lose your peace to, my God, I wish it could be like that. But God is saying, you don't know the blessing coming your life. That right there is their celebration. But what I got for you, because you were faithful and you stayed the course, God says, I'm going to show you and bless you. Don't worry about comparing yourself. I notice people post pictures, and then next thing you know, their husband hits them in the face. Then they're getting abused, but they're putting out there trying to make it all smiley and all perfect, and you losing your peace over fake? Come on. What Donald Trump say? Fake news. That's fake news right there. All I need to know is I need to worry about my life. I need to know what God has for me is for me. I can't compare myself. I cannot lose my peace based off either how God's blessing you or how you're faking your life. See, what I've discovered, fake news, that's what he says, fake news. Fake book is fake news a lot. There's a lot of good stuff, but there's a lot of fake stuff. And you cannot try to run out and emulate anybody. And we see this with Martha. The only reason she loses her peace, watch this, is because Mary was not helping her. She compared herself to what Mary was doing. And in this season, a lot of us will begin to compare ourselves with other people. And you'll lose your peace. And that tells me something else, that if Martha lost her peace because of something existential on the outside, that means another problem is that she doesn't really understand that peace was in her house, and his name was Jesus. And the thing was, how do you lose your peace in the midst of celebrating peace? Because many people, if we remember, his name is not just Jesus. The Bible calls him the Prince of Peace. So in this season of celebrating the Prince of Peace, why are so many people losing their peace? When we should be celebrating peace. Because that's the one thing Emmanuel brought us, was he brought us peace. Isaiah 9:6, if you could throw it up there real quick. The Holy Spirit told me to teach this. I'm starting to preach. I'm getting happy on the inside. Watch this right here. Isaiah 9:6, for to us a child is born, To us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Church, watch this right here. The Lord said, here's why Martha lost her peace. It's because she didn't focus on Jesus, but she focused on the problem. She focused on, I didn't have help, versus focus on the Prince of Peace in the midst of preparing to celebrate the Prince of Peace. In church right now, I don't know how many people don't have peace in their life. But you cannot allow your frustrations and disappointments and loneliness to cause that to be your main focus. Because what you have to understand is that when you lose your peace, it's because if you lose your peace, it's because you're focused on something other than peace. Stay with me. The Bible says that Mary chose. Mary could have went and focused on what needed and the problems and the distractions. But the Bible says, he told Martha, she chose to focus and sit at the feet of peace. And I'm not trying to minimize anything, but I need you to understand, if you want to have peace, you're going to have to go choose peace. You cannot focus on the pain of loneliness, and I know it hurts. And you cannot focus on the frustrations and what's not working in your life. You've got to choose to focus on peace right now. And when you choose to focus on peace, it is going to come in and it is going to bring peace into your life. Give me Matthew 8. Give me Matthew 8 real quick. I got to teach this to you. And church, here's the thing you've got to understand. That one of the things about peace is God desires each and every one of us to have it. I want you to hear me. Every child of God should have peace in their life. And one of the ways that we are going to have, watch this right here. Watch the text. She lost, this shows you that your frustrations could allow you to lose peace. Watch the text. She's in the house, she's irritated, she's frustrated. Alistair, watch this. She's in the house, frustrated, she's irritated. She comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, tell her to help me. Watch how frustration will do it to you. Jesus, tell her to help me. Something's all wrong with the whole thing I'm saying. Jesus, tell her to help me. See, watch this. She's so frustrated, she's missing. All her help is right here. Why are you telling Jesus to tell her to help you? If I got a problem, all I need to know is, Jesus, I need to choose you to help me. Why am I telling Jesus to tell her to help me when he's the helper, when he's my everything, when he's my peace, when he's my deliverer? Because her frustration caused her to miss her very help right there. See, when you're in pain and you're frustrated, it will cause you to miss the help that God has sent for you. And she's sitting there needing help. Come on, somebody. And she literally asked Jesus, Jesus, tell her to help me. Do not ever make that mistake. Come on. Where your hurt has got you so frustrated and distracted, did you miss your help right there? Jesus, tell her to help me. No, Jesus, I don't need her. All I need is you right now. I need you to help me. I don't have no peace. These dishes, I'm frustrated. I'm irritated. I'm feeling lonely. I wish somebody was helping me. Jesus, bring peace into my life. But her pain caused her to miss Christ. And you can see this so many times. Go ahead and put up Luke, please. If you can put that up there, media, real quick. If you could put up Matthew chapter 24, verse 26. We see this same story with the disciples in the boat, where they're in a storm. Watch this right here. And they have Jesus in the boat. And it shows me that many times when we're stressed out in life and when we're going through things, that sometimes we will forget, get so distracted by what we're looking at that we forget our help, church. If we begin to focus, if you could throw that up there quickly, please, that when they're in the storm, you know the story. I'll just quote it to you. You know the story. That when they're in the boat with Jesus, the Bible says there was a storm at sea. And the Bible says Jesus was down there asleep in the boat. Jesus was asleep in the boat, and the disciples begin to see the storm. Stay with me. It's the very same thing Martha was doing. And what they do is they wake Jesus up and said, Jesus rebuked the storm. Now, church, why are you stressing out when you got Jesus sitting there inside the boat? If he's asleep, I'm good. If he's calm, I'm okay. Because sometimes what happens is we begin to see that every time that when stress comes and we get perplexed in life, we seem to take our eye off the help of what God has sent for us. And this is the very thing we do in this season, is when you're going through things, bills get tight, money gets funny, health gets sideways, we begin to take our eye off the very thing that's sent to help us. And the thing that's sent to help you, stay with me, this is going to sound familiar. is the same thing that helped us with joy is the same thing that's going to help us with peace. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, I'm going to teach it to you just almost again. Watch this right here. The way you get peace and you hold on to peace and you don't overlook it is it's going to be through the Holy Spirit. Church, I didn't come to preach you in a frenzy. I came to bring you some reminders this Sunday. If you want peace in your life, it's through the Holy Spirit. Watch what happens. Martha goes to Jesus. She's stressed out. If anybody's ever been under the weight of stress and you don't know how to just deal with stress, a lot of times we overlook the help that has been sent right there. She goes to him and tells him to tell her to help her. They're on the boat and they're stressing out, but they got peace right there on the boat. They overlook peace is in the boat. What you stressed out about? And what we see, watch this right here, is that when we're in that same situation, that when we look at Jesus, and I was teaching this a couple of weeks ago, whenever you see Christ, you see the Holy Spirit. Go to this. I got to teach you something real quick. This is Christmas reminders. Touch your neighbor. Say Christmas reminders. Go to John 16, 7. Let me teach this in case you miss it. This is going to help you out the rest of your life. John 16, 7. Throw that up there for me quick. John 16, 7. And what I need you to see is it's what he says here about the Holy Spirit. He says, watch Jesus. This is Jesus speaking. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. This is Jesus speaking. Unless I go away, the advocate he's talking about is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus says, remember this. He says, listen, stay with me, church. Somebody's got to hear this. He says, listen, it is for your benefit that I, Jesus, go away. And when you look at that on the surface, that's mind-blowing. That's jaw-dropping. Jesus said, it's to your benefit that I go away. And you remember I told you the reason why it's to their benefit is simply because he realizes that when he came down from heaven, he took on body. He was all hypostatic union, all God, all man, meaning he put God in body and that became limited. Meaning he could no longer stretch his hand from Africa to Arizona because he put on body. And he's saying, listen, it is to your benefit that I go. The advocate, when he comes, watch what he's saying, because when the Holy Spirit comes, he's not limited to a body. He can be anywhere at any time with everybody at the same time doing the same thing because he is the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of God, the essence of God, the DNA of God. And what he's saying to them is, church, and you got to stay with me, advocate means helper. The word Holy Spirit is parakletos. It means one called along the side of. And what we forget a lot of times is the same way when you're going through stress, all you got to do is reach out and say, Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, give me peace right now. Holy Spirit, I'm stressed out right now. Holy Spirit, I feel like committing suicide. Holy Spirit, I don't feel like I'm going to make it in my marriage. Holy Spirit, I'm not going to make it in the sickness. I'm not going to make it in my money. And when you ask the Holy Spirit to come in, he will help you. And we remember in 1 Corinthians 14:32, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit, this is what I love about him, is he won't force himself on you. He says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, meaning if you don't ask him, he won't interfere. And what Martha did was she went to Jesus but asked him to help, ask somebody else to help her. Church, what I'm trying to tell you is your help is in the Holy Spirit. If you want peace, anytime you stress out, I'm going to teach you the best thing of your life, is the Holy Spirit represents Christ in everything. If you want peace, all you got to do is say, Holy Spirit, bring me peace. Holy Spirit, I'm feeling frustrated. I'm feeling grieved inside. I'm missing someone. I'm lonely. I'm doing this all by myself. Bring me peace. And he's the comforter. He is the healer. He will bring you everything that Christ brought the disciples. Because that's what the life of Christ was about, is to teach you what the Holy Spirit would be in your life. Watch, let me show you a couple of scriptures here. Go to John 16:32. Because the Lord said, be careful, don't preach this. You got to teach them through this. Because I got to get your hearts prepared. Because when you're stressed out, I want to give you the greatest key in your life, in your mind. And I know there's people who've been under the weight of stress. And when you're under the weight of stress, do not forget your help is right there. Jesus was on the boat. They were stressing out. That tells me they were forgetting how great he really was. Martha was right there, and she goes to him and asks him to ask somebody else to help her. The pressure of stress caused her to forget her help. And I'm trying to remind somebody, every time you feel stressed, just call on the Holy Spirit. And when you call on him, he's going to show up. He's going to come in. He's going to begin to comfort you. He's going to begin to stretch. Somebody shout, Holy Spirit, help me. Watch this. Watch the text. In John 16 and 32, watch what he says. I like this right here. He says, John 16:32. A time is coming, in fact, come with you, be scattered. He's, you and leave alone. Yeah, not alone for your father. Okay, that's not the verse I was looking for. Amen. That's not it. Give me John 14:26. John 14:26 and verse 27. Quickly as you can. Because what there it is. Okay, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. Watch what he says. He will teach you all things and remind you of what? Everything I've said to you. Next verse. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Church, how many hearts are troubled right now? Not enough this. Got this going on. Let me tell you something. I need you to start walking in peace like you've never had peace before. You have got to choose peace when the pain is there, when loneliness comes, when the frustrations come. She chose Mary over Jesus to help her. You can't choose alcohol over Jesus. You can't choose, companionship over Jesus. You cannot choose doing something, smoking some weed over Jesus. Come on, somebody. Because what God is saying is the only thing that's going to last is going to be the peace that he gives you. How many know you can smoke some good reefer, but it's going to wear off? Okay, y'all looking a little sanctified up in here. Y'all looking a little bit sanctified up in here, up in here, up in here. You can smoke some really good stuff, that Jamaican stuff. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You can have the best Hennessy this weekend, but I bet you it's going to wear off. But when you get the peace of God, it can maintain in you. It'll keep you filled up. You just keep talking to the Holy Spirit. You ain't got to meet a drug dealer on the corner. Come on. You got a hope dealer living inside of you. You got a hope dealer that'll give you a discount. You got a hope dealer who said, I paid the price on Calvary. Like my boy Wes Morgan said, he paid it all up on the cross. He paid for every sin. He paid for every type of any help you need. He already paid for it. I mean, come on, you can have some wine. I ain't telling you don't drink on Christmas, but baby, you don't need that for peace. You ain't got to drink nothing away. You ain't got to sleep with somebody else to sleep the pain away. All you got to do is call on the hope dealer. He'll meet you on the inside because he lives inside of you. But just call on your peace. Call on the Holy Spirit, and he'll bring peace in your life. When your children are wilding out, when the bank account, you feel the stress and the weight of the world, don't forget your help. Somebody say, choose the Holy Spirit. When you choose him, he will come into your life. Watch John 14:17. John 14:17. Put it up there. Watch this right here. Watch this right here. John 14:17. And he says here in John 14:17, because I want you to see this with your own eyes. Because, church, one of the greatest things we don't teach enough in the church is about the Holy Spirit. And when we're teaching on the Holy Spirit, if you could put that up there real quick, please. And one of the things that we don't do a good job of is teaching. I'm going to tell you right now. Every benefit in your life is through the Holy Spirit. Watch what he says. The Spirit of truth the world cannot accept. Talking about the Holy Spirit. Because he neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. Watch what he says. For he lives with you. He was meaning to his disciples. He's with you right now through Jesus. Because Jesus is there. And he says, and he will be in you. Let me tell you, your peace lives in you. Your peace is inside of you. But when we get so distracted with our pain and frustrations, we forget to call on him, and he's living inside our house. The same way he was in Martha's house and she missed him, the Holy Spirit is inside of us and we miss him. And we've got to begin to talk. Come on, someone say, talk to the Holy Spirit. Watch this. Isaiah 26:3. Media, I need you to flow with me a little faster here. Isaiah 26:3. I love what it says in Isaiah 26:3. You will, watch what he says. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast. Meaning, if your mind is on him, he'll keep you in perfect peace. The problem is our mind is on the problem. The mind is on, she was preparing. Her mind was on everything else. The men in the boat, their mind was on the storm, and they lost their peace. What is your mind fixated on determines your peace. The Bible says if you keep your mind on him, he'll keep you in perfect peace. If you keep your thoughts fixated on him, he'll keep you in perfect peace. No one's saying it doesn't hurt. No one's saying it doesn't. The loneliness is not there. The grieving is not real. But in the midst of the grief, keep your mind on Jesus. In the midst of the pain, keep your mind on Jesus. And when you keep your mind on him, he'll keep you in perfect peace. It never denied the disciples weren't in the storm. It never denied Martha didn't have stuff to do. He never denied it. But what he said was there's a problem because you don't have peace. Watch this. Let me give you one more. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Watch what it says here. Watch the power of peace. Philippians 4 and 6 through 7 real quick. Because I love this when we talk about peace. I know it's a familiar passage. Philippians 4 and 6, please. Because it lets us know how peace will guard your heart. Watch what it says. Many, Lord, are asking, who will bring us into pride? Let the light of Philippians, amen. Come on, amen. It's Christmas. Jesus. I said Philippians, didn't I? Okay, all right. Y'all. Amen. That's all right. Everybody say grace. Just yell grace right now. Philippians 4 and 6, amen. Let's try that one more time. Let me just tell you what it says. Amen. Come on, somebody. I got to get to Christmas. Amen. Come on, somebody. Well, because understand what it says. It talks about how peace will guard your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Watch this right here. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to who? God. Watch this. Present, meaning talk to the Holy Spirit. Talk to God. Tell the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I need you. Take the situation to him. Verse 7. Here it is. Verse 7. I promise you, it's right there. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, watch what it'll do. It'll guard your heart. Peace will guard your heart when your heart is hurting. And what I'm trying to remind you of in this Christmas season, church, is you got to remember to allow peace and focus, choose peace. If your mind is kept on him, he'll keep you in perfect peace. And when you do that, it'll guard the heart that's hurting. Your mother-in-law won't drive you crazy this Christmas Eve. When you get together with family, you won't go crazy stressing out. You're going to just do everything with perfect peace. And when you find yourself in your house doing everything and nobody's helping, they're leaving, ain't nobody helping to pick nothing up, your heart will stay in perfect peace. When 2020 comes, you're going to keep that same mentality. You ain't going to let a devil distract you, a bill distract you, a sickness distract you, anything come. You're going to stay with your mind stayed on Jesus, and you're going to stay in perfect peace. Let me tell you something. I know I'm probably going to preach this next week or New Year's Eve, but listen, I'm not bringing no drama into the new year. I'm keeping my mind on Jesus. I ain't got time for Willie Lump Lump. Come on, somebody. I ain't got time for all the drama. I'm trying to keep my mind on Jesus. I ain't got time for distractions. I need, because when we focus on other things, stress gets on the inside. See, the thing is, it's not that, watch this right here. See, the reason why we don't have peace outside is because we don't know how to stir up the peace inside. Because I believe whatever's inside will come out and it will take over what's outside. But the reason why Jesus could speak to the storm on the outside is because he had peace on the inside. And I believe when you get peace on the inside, you can speak to the storm on the outside and it'll create peace all around your life. But it starts with peace. Somebody say peace. Let me get this third one that we got to raise up. Here's the other reminder I want to give you. My third point is that you've got to have an impact. I got to remind you, you got to have an impact. You cannot allow yourself to not be impactful. And I believe that Christmas is about having an impact. I really believe. When I looked at the text, Martha was so busy. Watch this. But she wasn't fruitful. She had no impact. As I looked at that, all her busyness, all this, all that, and when I looked at it, it had no impact. And God said, there's so many busy people, and they have no impact. Church, I came to ask you, have you impacted anything? I know you bought somebody a gift, but what's your impact? I mean, listen, I'm not trying to tear you down. I'm trying to build you up. But we need to look at ourselves and say, am I impacting anything? I know you bought somebody a gift, and they're going to shout about it, but is there an impact? Impact just simply means to be fruitful. We have a lot of busy people, but we don't have a lot of fruitful people. See, I believe we're in a world in time, and a world in time where the world, it's almost celebrated to be busy. It really is. If you think about it, when you go to a job, they mainly ask you questions about, are you able to multitask? But if there's any Club 55 saints, they remember when we used to interview, it wasn't about multitasking. Can you stay focused? They wanted to know, can you stay focused? Now everybody wants to know, can you multitask? What has happened to our society? It's not about staying focused. It's about being busy now. They want you to multitask. I want to know, can you do this while you do that? And can you do that while you're still doing those twos? And while you're doing those three, can you do that for me? Because the busy you are, the world says we're more effective. But I discovered that is not true. I've seen a lot of busy people who are not fruitful with no impact.
And just in case you don't remember, God never called us to be busy. He called us to be fruitful. He told Adam and Eve, he didn't say be busy. He said be fruitful and multiply. We've never been called to just be busy. We've been called to be fruitful. And the devil has made us think because we're so busy that we're impacting. And church, I've come to tell you, the busier you are, the less impact you're probably having. Hear me. You notice even when you watch TV, anybody, I don't know if you watch TV, if you watch CNN, that's my news of choice, or ESPN, that's my TV of choice, watch this right here. I've noticed something with every single one of them. Back in the day, Club 55, you remember this, watch this. When we used to watch news, it would be Walter Cronkite. Kids like, who is that? Amen. Or it'd be one person on the TV, and you listen to that one person do the news. Turn on the news right now. They got six people on the TV at one time. This person in eight boxes. And then under the eight boxes, they got stories, breaking news. And your head's just, yep, all over the place. You put on ESPN, they got this, they got tickers, they got scores. Everybody's life is just busy. Everything is busy, but nobody's fruitful. Where is our impact? We have no impact because we are so busy in life. And I used to think when I got in ministry, stay busy. Listen, there is a degree of staying busy, but then there's a degree of being crazy busy, unfruitful busy. I've discovered if I slow it down, I'm good. When I speed it up, everything, the wheels can come off. Come on, somebody. I don't care how great you are, but we are called. See, what happens when you're busy, you'll wear yourself out. You will wear yourself down, and you have no impact for the kingdom of heaven. Because busy means that you're being celebrated by the world. Fruitful means you've been celebrated by God. God never called me to just be busy. He called me to be fruitful. Fruitful means I'm impacting something or someone. And we got people scrambling to fill their calendar, scrambling to do this. Baby, I'm just slow and go. Come on, somebody. I got one body to use until I get to heaven, and I ain't wearing it down, and I ain't wearing it out. I am going to be impactful. I'm going to be steady, and I'm going to get what God has for me. I'm not getting to a place where I got to throw in the towel because I'm wore down, and I'm wore out, and I'm not fruitful at the same time. Do you know actually the word multitask? When you look it up, it came out in 1960. Wasn't even an English vocabulary until they invented computers. That word was invented for computers. And now they got humans trying to do computer work. God never called the human soul to be busy, multitasking. He called us to be diligent. He called us to be fixed on Jesus. And the devil says, if I keep them busy, I'll wear them down. And when I wear them down, they're no good to have any impact to be fruitful. With me, I'm done. It's time to go. Because whatever God does for your life, when he touches you, hear me very carefully. Watch scripture. Whenever God impacts you, he impacts you for one reason, for you to impact somebody else. Don't you ever forget this the rest of your life. When he healed you for one reason, so you can impact other people's lives. When he blessed you for one reason, so you can impact other people's lives. If you look at scripture, every scripture is connected to you. When you get a blessing, an encouragement, or something from God, it is for you to impact somebody else. I don't know if anybody's ever taught you that, but because listen to me, if God didn't want you to impact anybody else, he would have took you to heaven a long time ago. He didn't call you down here to be the Lone Ranger. He called you down here to impact other people with whatever he impacts you with. What did he tell his disciples when they became? Watch this right here. Let me run through scripture. I almost started preaching. Holy Spirit said, hit the brakes. Watch this right here. Let me show you scriptures. I'm done right here. Because your whole purpose when God impacts you is to impact somebody else. I don't care what it is. That purpose of whatever he did for you is for it to impact somebody else. When he delivered you is for it to deliver somebody else. Let me give you a couple of scriptures and we go on. Psalms 133, roll with me media. Psalms 133, we know this. The Bible talks about how it's good and pleasant for brothers to dwell. Psalms 133:1. How it's good and pleasant when God's people live together in unity. Verse 2, watch what it says. It's like a precious oil. Watch what it does. It goes from the head, the beard, and to the robe. Okay, watch what it does. It goes from the head, the beard, to the robe. It didn't just stay on the head. Whatever hit the head hit the beard. And what hit the beard hit the robe. What that speaks of is the anointing of God.
that speaks literally of preaching. Watch what it does. It literally speaks of when the oil hits the pastor, it hits the leadership. When it hits the leadership, it hits the congregation. God help me. Can I preach to you? Your pastor in every church, and if you're watching me online, the pastor shouldn't be the only one blessed in the church. The pastor shouldn't be the only one healed in the church. The pastor shouldn't be the only one with money. The pastor should not be the only one doing all right. Whatever's on the head's got to get on the beard, and what's on the beard's got to get on the body. The only reason God blesses one is so it can get to somebody else. Okay, I almost feel something. This ain't for me. This is for the Holy Ghost. That's why you should want whatever pastor you under, want them to be blessed. God help me. All the haters can leave if you want to. It's a new year coming. But that's why you want your pastor blessed, because whatever oil is on him is on the leaders, and what's on the leader is on the body, and together we do this, and what gets on mama gets on the children, and what gets on the children gets on the grandchildren, and it starts a generational blessing. Whatever impacts your life is to impact some. Psalms 23 and 5. I'm almost done. Psalms 23 and 5, quickly. I want you to see Psalms 23 and 5. Watch what he says. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my cup with oil. My cup overflows. Don't you miss what you just read? He's sitting at a table with people, enemies. And when he's sitting at the table, his cup overflows. And I don't know if you ever seen somebody cup overflow at a table. Everybody jumps back, because you don't want to get it on you. And what God says is, what I put in your cup, I want it to get on everybody else. And the only reason your cup overflowed was even your enemies can get blessed by sitting at your table. That's why I don't worry about enemies coming to church. I don't care about enemies coming in my life, because when I get blessed, they still going to get blessed. I don't care about them getting blessed, because the oil. You got to have an impact. You got to have an impact. You got to tell somebody, got to have an impact. Watch what it says, Luke 6:38. Watch the text. Luke 6:38 says, give. Come on, put it up there with me. Give, and what will it do? Be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. Good God. Watch what he says. He says, when you give, it's going to be pressed down, shaken together, runneth over. It ain't supposed to run over so you can be fat and just sitting there all fat and rich. God says, I'm giving you more so you can do more. I'm letting it overflow so when you get overflow, you can bless somebody else. Nobody should have overflow just to sit with overflow. He wants your cup to run over. He wants your bank account to run over, because the more he gives you, the more you can do. You are called to impact somebody's life. Matthew 28:18. I'm almost done. One more scripture. Matthew 28:18, verse 20. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Next verse. He tells his disciples, therefore, go and make disciples. Let me pause right there. He told people he made disciples to go and make other disciples. That's the impact. Jesus impacted them. He says, now you go impact somebody else. Church, are you impacting anybody? I know you're busy, but what's your impact? What are you touching with your life? I know you're going to give them a gift, but what are you touching with your life? Get one last verse right here, Matthew 5 and 14. Here it is right here, Matthew 5 and 14. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Let me translate. Basically, what he's saying is whatever I do for you, I need everybody to see it. I need everybody. Somebody say everybody. I need everybody to see it. Church, I just came not to preach in a frenzy. I just came to remind you and to remind you of Christmas reminders. And church, I want to know, are you impacting people with your life? I know you're going to bless them with a gift, but are you impacting anybody with yourself? I know that you're going to do an amazing job blessing people. But God called you to be such an impact. When he touches you, you touch somebody else. You know why you're still alive? Stay with me. Do you know why you're not in heaven? I'm going to tell you. You know why that car accident didn't take you out when it should have taken you out? Do you know why he's healed you and he's kept you? Do you know why he's been alive 92 years? Because whenever you're here, you still have impact. Don't you ever doubt anything about your life. If you're still here, I don't care who you are, how bad you are, how holy you think you are. If you're still breathing, it's for one reason only, to impact somebody else. If that was not the case, God would take you on to heaven. What good are you here on earth? It is to impact. Everybody say impact.
Martha had no impact. Church, you have got to be reminded, it's not about being busy where you have no impact. As we set goals for the new year, one of the goals I want you to set is you got to impact the world. You got to impact people. Because you're busy, but are you fruitful? And if I just came to give you my three reminders, if you could put those back up on the screen, the three reminders of Christmas, is while you're preparing to celebrate Jesus, don't lose focus of Jesus. Just that simple. Don't lose focus of Jesus while preparing to celebrate Jesus. Don't lose your peace. Don't fall into the trap of being busy with no impact. Those are all traps of Christmas. And I just came to give you the reminder that when you need peace, call on the Holy Spirit.